Friends, though you may have been convinced and have tasted of the power and felt the light, yet afterwards ye may feel a winter storm, tempest and hail, frost and cold, and temptation in the wilderness. Be patient and still in the power and in the light that doth convince you, to keep your minds to God. In that be quiet, that ye may come to summer. For if ye sit still in the patience which overcomes in the power of God, there will be no fleeing. As we join our hearts in prayer, we surely shall want to remember those of our seminary family who are in special hardship or distress, and we have been asked especially to remember the two members of our seminary community who are in the hospital following an automobile accident earlier this week. Will you join me now as we pray together? Almighty God, merciful Father, we, thy children, in thanksgiving now bow before thee, rejoicing in thy great love. For the grandeur of thy world and for the beauty of simplicity, we thank thee. We have dwelt too long in petty things, and often our eyes are blinded to true beauty and our spirits are unaware of true greatness. Make us sensitive, we beseech thee, to true nobility. Open thou our eyes. We come in penitence before thee, confessing our waywardness and our love of rebellion. Give us first an understanding that we may see the shamefulness of our pride, the weakness of our strength, the sin of our righteousness. Conquer within us the spirit of haughtiness toward one another and of rebellion against thee. We know that we have sinned against thee. To the strife of a world broken in rivalry and reeling in uncertainty, we have added the tragic burden of our own sins. We have exhibited the unseemly spectacle of devout ambition, of Christian intolerance, of godly pride. Purge us, we pray, from such perversity, and give us a spirit of meekness and true godliness. We lift up to thee our brothers and sisters of this immediate family and of the whole family under heaven who eat the bread of sorrow and oppression. Let the ministry of thy comforting spirit be given to these in abundance. Make us thy ministers of peace and wholeness, of comfort and sustenance. Give us a sympathy one with another, that sharing in sorrow we may have a common consolation in thy mercies. Bless especially, we pray thee, these our brothers now in suffering and illness. And may the ministering hands be guided. May our love and concern be communicated to them, and may thy grace suffice for their every need. Help us, O Lord, to right the wrongs that we have caused to one another. Do not let us pass by those for which we feel no guilt, but make us truly members one of another in the body of Christ. Bless the President of the United States and all the leaders of the nations, we pray, with fitting gifts for their great and challenging tasks. Let their zeal be tempered with patience, and let their sympathies be lifted above the pettiness of national pride and party spirit. Let peace and justice be sought for all mankind, and make us all instruments of thy peace. We offer up to thee, O Lord, our work and our worship in this place. From thee we have our vocation. May we now, having received it, offer it back to thee to confess thy lordship over our lives. Sanctify thou the commonplaces of our days, and make every hour, every moment, full and vibrant with meaning. Let these be days of fruitful labor, inspiriting worship, challenging study, and deepening fellowship for this community entire. Help us to catch the vision of the whole world in need, and set our feet in the way of service in thy name here and the uttermost parts of the earth. Let this our petition be heard, we pray, insofar as we truly make it, in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. One word of special announcement has been requested. You have been told in classes of the special meeting to be held tomorrow at this hour, the survey of theological students tending toward and participating in a general examination of theological education among Southern Baptists. You are especially urged to be present and to participate in this survey. There will be no signatures required. There will be no embarrassing questions. It is a survey designed simply to seek to understand who our theological students are, whence they come, what their understanding of their task in the future is. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Not the least of the marks of the Christian faith is the consciousness of divine guidance in the manifold choices of responsible life. Of all the affirmations of the Christian's assurance, and they are many, none is more expressive than this: He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. None is more constant in Christian history. It is found in the earliest of Christian hymns, the earliest now available to us, one which we sang a few moments ago, written by Clement of Alexandria around the year 200. It is voiced by Charles Wesley, by Isaac Watts, by John Henry Cardinal Newman, by Fanny Crosby, by many other writers of hymns and gospel songs, of anthems, of oratorios, expressing either simply or splendidly, or both, the confidence in the leadership of Almighty God over the life and in the choices of His servants. It was expressed by the Hebrew prophets, by the Christian apostles and martyrs, by missionary adventurers. William Carey expressed it as he set out for India. John Robinson and his company faced hardships in the Netherlands and made plans for a journey across the threatening Atlantic with the same sure confidence. This hope, this awareness of the presence and leadership of Almighty God was wind in the sails of tiny, unseaworthy ships. This is a part of our creed today. In it, with it, by it, indeed, we live. No part of the Christian's affirmation is more comforting. Many a pilgrim in a strange land has been reassured by the conviction that he travels under the guidance of the God to whom no land is foreign, no language strange. In this assurance, indeed, students have sought out this place, coming from afar in spite of hardship and uncertainty, confident that, as best they can understand it, the will of God has led them here. But no affirmation is more perilous than this one. To say that I am led of God leaves me susceptible to the dangers of pride. I am in danger of vaunting myself and my assurance and my particular and peculiar calling because I have a line of communication with God, one which I dare to believe no one else can equal. So it becomes an occasion of pride. It may, too, become an opportunity for the temptation to tyranny over the minds of others. We have witnessed all too often that overwhelming domination exercised by one who, under the assurance of alleged divine guidance, has been ready to make choices for others, even in the minutiae of daily conduct and apparel. I am instinctively afraid of a man who has a word of God, a word from God, purporting to govern the choices of another. Under the cloak of this conviction, too, we may find ways to justify our ambition or our laziness. God's whims, as we understand them, may lead us to abandon a difficult field of service for an easier one. Soon after he has called us here, something better opens up, and we feel led to accept. But to declare the guidance of God is in itself to give a witness and to make a theological affirmation. In it, we both make our own confession of professed obedience, for whoever said that he understands this to be the will of God and yet he chooses not to follow it. And we say something about God. In this, we confess him to be a God nearby, close at hand, not far removed from us. He is a God active, concerned with the world and with our deeds, our history. One who made us and still exercises his creative work within us, is present with us to lead, to fulfill in us his gracious purpose. Yes, his purpose. For in this kind of declaration, we speak of a God of purpose. It is at this point that our foolish and frantic casting about for easier ways, for openings into a better situation, so surely indicts us. For to say that God gives us guidance is to affirm that he is not a capricious being ruled by whims and subject to contrary motives. He is the Lord. We know him to have a redemptive purpose of worldwide scope, a purpose for our lives, a purpose which extends even to our vocational choices, to the use of his gifts as wise and faithful stewards, and to the difficult decisions and moral issues in a confused and confusing world. But more than purpose, it is his gracious purpose which we declare. We do not worship a God whose will is evil. No malevolent despot commands our glad obedience and faithful service. In this affirmation of the leadership of God, we testify to this conviction that he is a God of gracious purpose. We testify to our God in whose dark counsels the way is often hid from our limited view and understanding, but we are sure that he chooses aright for us. Thus we are able to sing, "E'en death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me." We cannot accept an easy mouthing of words about the leadership of God's Spirit, because we have seen the perils of pride, of tyranny, of laziness and ambition, which are all too near. Do we do well then to abandon the affirmation of God's leadership and to pretend to map our own way? Will we say, "I am the master of my fate, the captain of my soul"? If so, we ought to be bold enough plainly to declare it. But there is given us light even for this choice. Confessing that we may go astray, we believe that God has led us even to the precarious position where we affirm his leadership. Walking on this perilous edge, confessing that we stand in danger constantly of peril, of pride, of tyranny, of laziness, or of ambition, we cling with confidence to the assurance that we can express the confidence in him who has led us thus far. We will seek the surest and soundest indications of his purpose, not satisfied with easy assumptions. We will strive to be sure that what we understand to be his will is consonant with his revelation of himself in Jesus Christ. We will seek the help of wise and mature Christians who may assist us in discerning his will. And we will live in the confidence that he who has called us to light and life will not fail to light the pathway of that life, step by step, as he unfolds his gracious, steadfast purpose for us. We will continue to pray in the words of our concluding hymn, which is our benediction, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Will you remain seated, please, and let this hymn be our benediction.